Hour number two is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And our first guest this hour, Cyrus Krohn, joining us, author of Bombarded, a book that's coming out tomorrow. Welcome, Cyrus. How are you today?
I'm well, John. Thanks for having me. I
appreciate it very much. You're a former RNC digital director. You did that before you ever got into politics. You actually were a publisher on several other platforms as well. So talk about Bombarded.
Well, I've been growing more and more concerned about the state of the internet and its disruption with democracy, foreign state actors coming in and creating tribalism throughout our citizenry. We're attacking each other. And, you know, I started at Microsoft in 1996, and I've watched the internet mature and now devolve to a point where, you know, we've got some real problems on our hands, and I needed to write about it and get those thoughts out for others to read.
When it comes to the marketing side of the internet, and we see it all the time, I mean, I see it daily, and it's to the point where, as you know, it's not even what you necessarily go out and search through a search engine, but it, you know, your phones and devices are actually listening to, for keywords and certain things you're saying to be able to then market back to you. To your point, I think we've reached a point where, you know, where do we call it? You know, where do we draw the line and not allow more to come down that path?
Well, we've let the genie out of the bottle, and not quite sure how to put it back in without some potential legislative or regulatory reforms. I'm not a fan of regulation.
Me neither.
But I think in this case, we need to take big tech to task and look at their algorithms and better understand how that technology is manipulating us. And if you think it's bad now, you know, the future is going to introduce things like 5G and Internet of Things and blockchain.
Right.
And 2020 is child's play.
Right. So when it comes to what you just said, and this is where, you know, you, at least myself being in the free market end of things and not wanting government intrusion, but I also understand the problem that lies ahead of us, and I very much, you know, am aware of what you're mentioning there. On the same token, there are those companies that would say, wait a minute, we can't give up our secrets. We can't give up our algorithms. It's what basically the basis of our companies are formed on. And if we give that up, we're giving up our secrets, which to a point, they're correct. So how do you do that and yet still keep those secrets inside of Google, Microsoft, and other places?
Well, they are correct. And I've given this a lot of thought. And, you know, some might cringe when they hear this, but I think there's a Sarbanes-Oxley like model here where these companies are going to have to begin to self-regulate, and if
so, they go through their own audit type process, like the Fortune 500 companies do. Is that what you're saying?
That's my recommendation.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Walk me through that. How would that look, Cyrus?
Well, let's use the California Privacy Act as an example for your listeners. CCPA, the California Consumer Privacy Act. It allows Californians to have more control over their data and audit companies and how that data is used. And if they don't like the way it's being used, they can send in a request to have all of that data expunged from the party's database. And that's one approach, but it's only California. And the complexity that that created for business was very challenging because it put a cost of burden on those businesses. Now, Vermont is talking about the same thing. Washington State is talking about the same thing. Business is not going to be able to manage 50 different privacy policies and remain a going concern and hitting their profit margins. So I think we need a federal data privacy policy that's uniform, that all companies can adhere to and prevent that death by a thousand paper cuts. Because what CCPA did for the rest of the country was create a technical burden that is not only a monetary hit, but it requires personnel and oversight. And it's just not realistic that we can do that 49 times and continue to see business flourish. So I'm advocating for a federal data privacy division.
Gotcha.
We've done this in the past, you know, with oil and the train systems. So why can't we do it? You know, data is now more valuable than oil.
It is. True. Very good point. Yeah,
so
sure is.
Maybe we need to begin to look at it as the behemoth that it is a little bit more seriously, because the degradation of society and democracy is really what's at stake here.
Can we also at the same time fix what I consider to be publishers and not platforms, i.e. Facebook and Twitter at the same time? Because these guys get by with more than other individuals and or news organizations would get by with. And they are, in my opinion, a news organization, yet they act like a platform, and they're not.
Well, I will share two things that I think President Trump has done exceptionally well in this regard. One, pushing on Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, trying to close that loophole so that these platforms are more accountable as publishers, and that's going to be a heck of a fight.
Yep.
And then TikTok and what the Chinese government is doing with the data that's being collected through a quasi-commercial enterprise where that data does flow back into communist China's coffers.
So I assume real quick, you're like me and don't believe you should have TikTok on your phone?
No, because coming from the technology sector and understanding the behavioral insights and attributes that can be gleaned from that and building a knowledge graph around Americans and then using that to target and affect people's emotions and behaviors and intent to achieve an outcome, in this case, an electoral outcome, that is highly detrimental. And so what we've done is opened up a pipe to non-violent warfare.
Yeah. And by the way, I appreciate you in that. I was, I think, maybe one of the first talk show hosts, at least in our area, to come out and talk against TikTok, even though it was, you know, it for intensive, you know, for the majority of people, I get it. It's fun. It's a fun thing to get involved in. It's fun to watch what other people do and so on, Cyrus. But the reality of everything you just said is exactly right. And when I first learned, I guess I should say, of what data they were garnering from all of the individuals on TikTok, not just myself, but any individual that's on there, and what they can actually then get into on your phone itself and garner, you should stay as far away from that thing as possible.
It is the Trojan horse of the internet. We invited it into our country, and now we have to get it out, and it's not the only one.
Yep.
WeChat, Wemo, there are plenty of others. The Chinese technologists are quite good, but we've just introduced a gaping hole, and as fun as they are, it's a national security risk to the country.
Agreed.
And that's not being articulated to the mainstream. And so
no,
when people hear,
it is not. Well,
you know,
said.
Bush wants
it is
to
not.
Ban TikTok. Yep. Yeah, it's you know, they're not getting the right story.
No, well said. I appreciate you saying that, because I think a lot of times I get, you know, even sometimes among family members, I sort of get that, oh, you know, you're just the conspiracy guy, and you know, you're just oversensitive and this, that, and the other. The reality is, no, I know what's being gleaned from those users, Cyrus, and I, for one, don't want to be one of those persons that information is being gleaned from.
Well, I would encourage your listeners to go to a search engine and type in knowledge graph and understand what a knowledge graph is. But basically, it's a database exclusively on the individual, their consumer purchase history habits, their behavioral attributes, their social media conversations, their emotions and intent and friend network. And all of that is stitched together to create a profile on the individual. And it's very easy to tweak the knobs.
Yep.
And then deliver marketing messages to get that individual to behave or act in a particular way. And all of this is orchestrated behind the scenes. And if you think it's cute and fun on the front end, it's Machiavellian on the back end.
Well said. Okay, so Bombarded, coming out tomorrow. How do folks get a hold of it, Cyrus?
Bombardedbook.com. And you can find the hard paper ebook, and I even read the audio book. So if you haven't gotten sick of my voice yet, you can hear it for hours to come.
That's good.
Yeah, bombardedbook.com. Yeah.
That is awesome. And again, folks, it is one of those things where, yes, I think you should read it. Cyrus, I believe there's a lot of people out there that just need more education in the things that we're talking about. Not to be, you know, I don't have my tinfoil hat on right now. These are just factual things that we're discussing, whereby these things can be used against not just an individual, Cyrus, but an entire population, in this case, a country, and that's what's happening.
It's not only happening in America, but it's happening in countries around the world. Costa Rica is also affected by this, and if you know where Costa Rica is geographically, they're in a very strategic part of the world, and to create havoc in Costa Rica is going to create a supply chain to our southern border, and the same tactics that were being used against us in 2016 are now being deployed in other Western cultures and nation states that are going to sow more animosity. And the last thing I want to share is that, you know, the book is really about providing ways to fight back. It's not just commiserating about the problems that we have.
Perfect.
But recommendations on how we fix these problems.
Solutions. That's what I like. Solutions. Good stuff. Cyrus, we'll have you back. This is great. I enjoy talking to you. Really appreciate it, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care.
You're very welcome.
Out there on the internet.
Sounds great. And again, the author of Bombarded, you can pick that up. It goes on sale tomorrow. Extreme Auto Repair is next, folks. And they've got a great deal right now where they've got a good rebate coming up on Cooper Tires. Ask about that. You can get a free second opinion. And on top of that, Sean told us last week, 15% off if you mention Rush to Reason. Find them at klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair will help you prioritize your vehicle's maintenance. You know there's a lot more to maintaining your vehicle than just getting your oil changed. But it seems like every time you go to the shop, the mechanic finds 10 things wrong, and all of them need to be fixed immediately, or there could be dire consequences. In your experience, very few auto repair shops will level with you about what's most important to fix right now and what could wait until later. The team of ASE-certified technicians at Extreme Auto Repair do their best to inform you about your vehicle's factory-recommended maintenance without using scare tactics to pressure you into spending more money. They have a reputation among their many repeat customers of only fixing what needs to be fixed, not more. At Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, you can trust their team to tell you what needs to be fixed when. Find out what your vehicle really needs at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Folks, exercise your Second Amendment right. Do that at Franktown Firearms. Find them at klzradio.com. Easy phone number to remember as well, 720-770-7777. That's Franktown Firearms. Again, find them at klzradio.com.
Instead of transporting your firearms to and from the range, you can store them safely on-site at the Franktown Firearms Armory. After purchasing a firearm, the team at Franktown recommends that you shoot consistently with your own gun on the range, as well as signing up for one of their proprietary training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can develop confidence handling your gun. You can also store your firearms temporarily while you're on vacation or protect your heirloom weapons without taking up space in your gun safe at home. The team at Franktown prides themselves on developing long-term relationships with their clients. They see beginners turn into experts all the time. First-time buyers come in looking for guidance and come back because they're having fun. Learn to shoot with confidence in a family atmosphere. Store your firearms at Franktown. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for pricing. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
To Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Up next, Michael Beatrice. He's been with us before, and welcome him back. Michael, welcome back, Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. You're the author of COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial, and wow, have things gotten interesting this past week with President Trump and several White House staffers getting the virus. Not that I'm too concerned or worried about it. I don't think they are as well, but boy, the other side of the fence sure is.
It's been very interesting the last, 72 hours or so. And it feels like if you follow Twitter a little bit and some of the, cable news, they're going crazy right now, particularly over, it looks like President Trump's coming back today.
I think he's, from what I understood earlier, somebody was following it, and I think he's already back. I saw a picture from somebody on the inside that I know pretty well that showed him at a desk already, isolated, of course, but, already working and getting right back at it. So, you got to hand it to the guy.
He made a great tweet today, probably the best tweet he's made since he's been president, when he just made a call on about, put COVID in perspective, don't be afraid of it, don't let it run your life. I thought
right.
that was a,
I thought it was
a powerful statement
well
that we
said.
Need.
Well said. And by the way, that's not something the left wants you to talk about in light of that. I mean, let's face it, Michael, you and I have talked about this before. They want you to be absolutely scared to death of this thing. We in Colorado, still have empty, military-style hospital beds that are kicking around, different parts of the state to the tune of just in one facility alone, $60,000 a day. We as taxpayers are flipping the bill for these things, and not a soul has been inside of them.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to take a few minutes. I don't know if you saw the article that I wrote for the Washington Times.
I sure did.
I'd love to.
Go ahead.
I'd love to spend a few minutes talking about Boulder.
Let's do it. Go ahead.
So, you know, Boulder County issued an order, I guess, a week and a half ago now.
Yeah, and real quick, just so you know, that is my native town. I lived in Colorado my entire life, and yes, I hate to admit this, but I am a Boulder native. That's where I was born and raised.
And, you know, I told you this last time. I love Boulder. I've climbed in El Dorado Canyon, and I've climbed the Flatirons several. So Boulder's a charming place. It's a great town.
It's just there's just 10 square miles surrounded by reality is what we say.
And so you've got this oasis there, and you've got rising cases from CU,
yep.
Basically, you know, that age bracket.
Yeah, which, by the way, okay, big deal.
So, and that's just it, right? So we've had 50,000 cases, quote cases, of college students from, 37 or so colleges and universities. What you don't get contextualized is that we've had two hospitalizations, no fatalities out of that.
Right.
That's really good information to have. And so so Boulder County issues an order, and they basically lock down only 18 to 22-year-olds.
Michael, COVID's smart, though. You got to give it credit. Come on now.
You know, it's like one of those things. There's other places that have orders where, you know, you can't go out after 4 p.m. And,
right.
And I said to one of my friends over the weekend, did you know that COVID, it's sort of like in that movie, that Will Smith movie, I Am Legend, right?
Yes.
The things
yes.
come out at night.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
sort of like,
exactly. The zombies only come out after dark.
So does the virus come out more at night?
It's
more aggressive.
No, it's the most ludicrous thing ever, Michael. It's just dumb.
Yeah, and what's really disappointing is people not understanding that, I don't mean people, but some of the decision makers, like the Boulder County leaders, where the better move is to really, what you do is you issue a statement that says, hey, we are testing a lot, we're getting cases. If you're vulnerable,
Stay home.
Over 75 or you're severely obese or, should really probably keep a low profile for the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Thank you. Now, let me add one more thing to that. What you should say is we are a college, Boulder County health officials should say, we are a college town. Given the fact we are a college town and we have college kids that were more likely out to be roaming around and doing things, if you're of that compromised nature, just be aware there will be college kids running around this fall and through the rest of the school season, so be prepared. That's what they should say.
And, you know, what we see with these cases generally is, and, Sweden's the example, but you really see similar curves. If you let it kind of get through, and nobody wants to do this, but if you had the courage to be Kristi Noem or Ron DeSantis, what you would do is you'd let it run its cycle through.
That's right.
Basically, enough people would gain immunity, and then it just wouldn't have enough people to transmit.
You just move on. Thank you. Life is normal. There you go.
And where we've really lost our way here, John, is that's how other pandemics have really fizzled out. I mean, I studied all this on the front end of my book, and I didn't know all this before I did this. But when you look at the Spanish flu, you look at the Asian flu, the Hong Kong flu, that's how they fizzled out. They basically fizzled out because they ran their
that's
cycle,
right.
People gained immunity, and there was just nobody left to transmit it.
I got a question for you because I was texting a listener earlier on this, and maybe I made a comment that's not true, but Michael, I have a hard time believing that this even qualifies worldwide as an actual pandemic. If you look at the actual numbers of people on this planet with the actual known numbers, with all of the testing and things that we've done, the known numbers of people that have COVID, is it even a pandemic?
Well, right. So my two cents would be yes. The reason that I'd say yes is because of the timing. It was new. It swept through with similar timing all over the world. You did see similar spikes in hospitalizations and deaths and rises in all-cause mortality all at the same time. Those things, to me, qualify as a pandemic. The question is, once we got real data on it, is how severe a pandemic it was. Right now, it's not even an epidemic level in terms of real-time deaths, according to the CDC, which would be 5% of all deaths. But I'd say in the moment it was a pandemic. I'd say we dodged one. Like, it could have been worse, and luckily it didn't materialize to be as bad as the forecasters said in March.
Well, and really I've interviewed some folks here recently, of course, even since I've talked to you, and of course, it's what we do here. We interview all sorts of different people from all over the world, people that write books, experts, and so on. And there's some folks out there claiming that, this was a man-made virus that, came out of China. It wasn't released on purpose, despite what a lot of people might think. In fact, This is going to end up at the end of the day hurting China more than actually helping them when it's all said and done. This is something I don't think they plan. This is me talking. I don't think they planned on releasing this. I do think down the road they would have, but right now this was a mistake that actually I think in the end Michael's going to hurt them more than it's going to help them.
Right. You know, I didn't spend a lot. Certainly, I've heard all those arguments, and people, a lot of people in my social circles as well as in these interviews have discussed it. For my purposes, I haven't analyzed that. That's an argument for our government and someone else to analyze. For me, it's taking a look at the actual, like, sort of present data, and what does that say? Regardless of where it originated,
sure.
Where are we now, and what
sure.
are the right, what are the right factors or tactics that we take? And so I just analyze that, and to me, you know, like you and I've talked about a few times before, I feel like the lockdowns have been a disproportionate response to this.
And here in Colorado, to your point in your article, we're getting more lockdowns. Now, Boulder did, just as a side note, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Boulder did allow, instead of just one person to go to 7-Eleven and back from campus, two can now go, Michael. So they did double that number. So we went from one to two.
I saw that. They changed that a couple of days later.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and suggesting people have to wear, you know, they can't congregate in their own homes, you know, if a bunch of college kids are living in
Correct.
The same house and they've got to disinfect their bathrooms and they've got to wear masks in common areas in their own home. I mean, come on. Like, how clueless are people?
They are very clueless.
And it's very unfair to the college kids. I mean, I opened up that article saying, did you ever think we'd feel, you know, like college kids are victims here? But I do.
They are.
I think there's a lot of college kids that are.
I agree.
That are really victims. And you know what's happening is you're going to see there was an article that came out in Texas today in the Texas Tribune, and it said that basically they're not getting enough college kids to get tested. And so our author of this article was saying, hey, you know, we've got extra capacity, and if you want to sign up. And I retweeted a reply and said, why would they get tested if they're not sick? First, they wouldn't do that anyway.
They don't need to.
They might get, who knows what would happen to them if they actually reported they were positive. They'd get quarantined for
Correct.
14 days. I mean, I wouldn't. If my kid, who's away at college at a Big 12 school, tested positive, I would tell him to, you know, stay isolated and keep a low profile. But I don't know that I'd have him reported either.
I don't think I would either, Michael. I'm with you on that one because the alternative is far worse. And the bottom line is, as far as the health of all the other individuals around them, yes, we need to be careful of those that are vulnerable. I get it. You and I have talked about that. We're on the same page. I fully understand that and I'm fully aware of that. On the same token, it's not my job to make sure those people stay safe. It's my job to make sure that I stay safe and that you, Michael, stay safe on your own.
John, I'd like to ask your opinion for a second. You always ask me questions, but do you feel like what's happened to President Trump over the last couple of days is net neutral, positive, or negative going into the election?
Positive.
Net positive?
Yes.
So that's my feeling, too, both that he recovered, maybe gets a little sympathy, kept a low profile, probably gets humanized a little. That's my opinion, too, and
I think at the same time also goes into what you and I have been talking about the last several times we both have talked, not trying to downplay COVID because we know for certain individuals it is really a big deal. But
by and large,
for the mass majority of individuals that COVID, it's not that big of a deal. It's like having a cold or a really bad cold, Michael, and that depends on the individual. For some, it's the sniffles. For others, it really lays you down in bed for a couple of days. And I get it. It depends on, I believe, just like any other illness that individual might get, Michael, it really has a lot to do with how healthy you are going into it.
For sure. You know, there was somebody made a post on our Nextdoor app within my neighborhood. I live in a pretty big neighborhood here in Dallas. And somebody made a post of, hey, what should we do about Halloween candy? Should we give it out? And what if I give out used tongs? All this. And so I tweeted a reply, fairly lengthy, that said, kids are at squiggly line, you know, approximately zero risk. And so we should do Halloween is normal, et cetera, et cetera. And so I got a reply back from the administrator of our next door who said, you know, you might get this pulled. Would you mind changing your note so that it doesn't say zero risk because we have to follow CDC guidelines, blah, blah, blah. And so I replied back and said, I won't change it. Here's why. We've got in Halloween age kids, which is 5 to 14, we've had 31 COVID-19 deaths. Those are with, probably not just from, out of 41 million 5 to 14-year-olds in the country.
Wow.
Meanwhile, in that same time frame, 3,356 5 to 14-year-olds have died. To me, this is what I'm writing here, that is statistically zero risk. So right. I won't change it. If they pull it, they pull it. But that's data that everybody needs to understand
Agree.
And get comfortable with.
Well, the other thing, too, that I would add to that, and I'm sure you didn't get into this because it brings up a whole other can of worms, especially on Nextdoor, but for all of these individuals that continue to stay on lockdown and that wouldn't go out and enjoy, in this case, trick-or-treating and Halloween, the other repercussions that we as a society, Michael, are going to have an effect on this from suicides to domestic abuse and on down the line we go. You know, where do those numbers come into play that nobody ever wants to talk about right now?
Right. And so I think we talked last time we spoke, we discussed, you know, lockdown deaths. And so we're at about 250,000, maybe all-cause mortality or excess deaths for the year above average. So that's a very real number. We're probably at about 130,000 real COVID deaths, real ones. Not the 205,
right.
But 130,000 is real. That's a real number.
Yeah.
And so the balance of those all-cause mortalities, you know, those are largely lockdown deaths. So it's not just deaths of despair.
So what you're really telling me, make sure that I get my math correct here, is what you're saying is there's about 120 or so lockdown deaths, 120K.
I mean, that's what our modeling is showing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I predicted in my book that I wrote largely April and May that we would, into 2021, end up with more lockdown deaths than COVID-19 deaths. I think we'll be there by either year-end or first quarter.
I hate to say you're right in this case, Michael, but I think you're going to be correct as well. And you know, that's sad to say, and I don't want to agree with you, but I'm going to have to because I think you're right in that, and that's the sad part about this.
It is sad. It's very, and that's not even factoring in, you know, so many kids. If you're active on Nextdoor, it's one thing to read articles.
Right.
I love this stuff, and I see how many tutoring ads have come up.
Yes, me too. I'm watching the same thing, and I don't live probably in as big an area as you do, but watching the same thing. I live on the west side of the Denver metro area and kind of watching the same thing in my neck of the woods. The other thing that I've noticed too, Michael, that's happened that, again, nobody wants to talk about. A few sheriff's agencies have mentioned a few things, but the crime that I've noticed in our area when it comes to things even stolen out of the backyards of people's homes where you typically wouldn't have to worry about that. I mean, I live in a really, really safe part of town, and yet our crime rate in these cases has gone clear up.
Yeah, it was interesting, the data. You know, one thing that came out of this that was good and from the second week of March into the end of April is crime was actually, violent crime and thefts and things like that were down just because would-be victims weren't going anywhere. They were
Correct.
Locked down. But you've got other issues, right? I mean, with crime, I don't know what Denver's quite, but you've got, you know, protests and police standing down, and you've got other issues going on kind of around the country that are causing spiked violent crimes all over the place. It's nuts. This is a 2020 is a year we will never forget.
Well said. Michael Beatrice, again, we appreciate it. Again, folks, the book, you can buy it, COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. Michael, we'll have you back in the future. Good stuff. I appreciate you joining us, sir.
I would love it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I appreciate it. Good stuff, by the way, folks. And read his book. He'll talk about the data in there. He does talk about the data in that book and really goes along with what we've been talking about on the show literally all the way back into March. So if you would, get that book and buy it, read it, and enjoy. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. They want to help you out with all of your vehicle needs. I said this earlier, even if you're looking to sell a vehicle that you're not intending to buy anything else, you just want to get rid of a particular vehicle. Maybe you're downsizing. Maybe you figured out different transportation. Maybe you bought your own used car. You want to try to do something with the old car. Purify Chevrolet is liable to buy the car you have now. Just ask. PurifyChevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Hey, folks, we heard there towards the top of last hour that Neil from Enchanted Kitchens, that if you want something done by Christmas, Thanksgiving's almost impossible to even get done at this point, but if you want something done by Christmas, you need to get started now. So if you want that Enchanted Kitchen before the end of the year, get that done, get that plan, and get it handled. And you can find them at klzradio.com. Again, klzradio.com.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern. But for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you've visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers, and he'll help you figure out how to get that Enchanted Kitchen handled by the end of the year. It's simple. Just give him a call today, 720-895-0500. We'll get our Monday Mortgage Minute update here in just a few minutes, but in the meantime, give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change. All without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard Rush joining us now. Richard, how are you today?
Oh, well, I'm doing well, Dad, except I'm kind of reaching my breaking point with these Democrats and the media and just everything going on. It's kind of getting to be, I'm about done.
Yeah, I've been done.
I'm no kidding, but I sent you that thing, and obviously I don't want listeners to even give it the time of day, but Jake Tapper, you know, the beloved CNN host.
Yes.
You know, came on, and I sent you that video, and he basically ridiculed Trump for, you know, how the sacrifices that people have made by not going to school and the scars that we're going to cause.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
Generations. And you know what I want? I just wanted to slap him. You know, I don't want to slap a lot of people, your physical harm and all that sort of stuff. But I just wanted to grab that dude's face, slap him, and say, you are a bumbling idiot.
And you're part of the problem.
And the same for Kyle Clark as our local guy.
Our local bumbling idiot.
In this. And the media. The media has fed into this narrative when Trump went into the hospital, you know, that they're not getting enough information, and this is really a big concern, and, you know, they're not wishing him well or anything. It's all been about how this is a super spreader event, and, you know, they weren't wearing masks and so on and so forth. But Dad, here's a question. If masks are the end-all be-all that the media and the left would have you believe, then Trump doing his ride around to say hello to his supporters out front should be not an issue, right? Because he was wearing a mask, his Secret Service was wearing all the PPEs necessary. What's the issue? And it comes back to, because masks don't work.
No, they do not.
And I reached a breaking point this week, and I feel bad because I know businesses have to do it because we have one of the dumbest governors around, and I know a lot of people.
Yeah, we have to have. If not one of the dumbest governor out, well, I shouldn't say that. The most bought in Democrat Party governor out there. Let's say it that way.
Well, yeah. I mean, you still have Cuomo, and you still got Whitmer, and all these other people. So you know, we're not that bad. but we still have extremely low case counts, extremely low hospitalizations. We have CU Boulder shutting down because high caseloads, but the hospitals never went up.
No.
And all I heard in the media was about how bad the hospital, you know, how bad that they were going to be hurting and how much, you know, if this gets to the older people. It's like, folks, you know, okay, we can say that about a lot of things. And, you know, Kyle Clark tweeted, because, you know, President Trump tweeted today, you know, don't be a victim to the virus. And then he basically, you know, Kyle Clark came out today and said, you know, telling people who have succumbed to this virus to be more alpha. And, you know, he's like, you can't tell this virus what to do. And it's like, no, but the media and the Democrats have forced us, or have tried to live in absolute, utter fear.
Total
of this
fear,
thing.
Day-to-day fear. That's right.
And not only of this, but of President Trump. And again, you even look at some conservatives and liberals, and, you know, they all get, you know, the Trump hate, orange man bad, you know, all this stuff. But they cannot provide you a concrete example of what he would have done. Same with Joe. What would Joe have done differently when it comes to this stuff? And the answer
nothing.
Is nothing. He maybe kept this lockdown longer. It's proven through countless examples, the lockdowns didn't work.
Well, I got a text message in of somebody criticizing President Trump's handling of the coronavirus. And I said, what do you think he should have done differently that's been done? Which, by the way, I'm even curious as to whether we have a true pandemic on our numbers. My last guest and I just talked about that. And this particular texter said he could have led and not blamed people for where we are. What else would he have? I guess that's a question I've got. What else would he have led on differently? We did an initial 14-day, let's get this thing handled, make sure our hospitals aren't overrun and so on. He extended that to 30 days, and he let the governors of each state determine from that point forward what they needed to do individually. How is that not leading?
And what he did is he bought us time. You know, we're making thousands of ventilators that aren't going to be needed. We've come up with new treatments. And you know what it boils down to, Dad, is he hasn't bought into the mask hysteria.
No, he hasn't.
And Biden has, and all of the Dems have. And again, it goes back to, and honestly, Dad, I was talking about this with someone today. You know, I can't even go to the store where I used to be able to go to the store. You would smile, wave. You know, I didn't know someone's, you know, background, whatever it is, but smile and wave. And my kids would be.
Say that again. You broke up. Your kids would what?
Laugh and smile.
Say it again. You broke up. Your kids would do what?
Sorry. So you know my kids. They love to talk to people,
right,
and interact with people. And these masks are the biggest deterrent and hindrance of kids being able to experience life, especially
right,
babies and young infants. And right, we're basically masking them up. And not even getting into the trafficking that gets involved with this data.
Well, we just learned from my last guest that the reality is the average school age individual and what their risk of actually, you know, he brought up trick or treating and the fact that there's a lot of folks on Nextdoor around the country talking about, you know, not having trick or treating and shutting it down. And he actually responded and said, you realize there's like zero risk of any of these kids that are trick or treating, even, you know, even having any type of ill from COVID. And one of the next door, you know, administrators came back and said, we really would like you to change what you just said, because it's not a you know, total zero risk and this, that. And he's like, he went through the numbers and texted back this particular individual, or responded back to this individual, and basically said, actually, the risk is about nil. Your kids are more apt to get hit by a car on Halloween night than die of COVID. This is a non-issue.
Yes, you have a larger risk of going trick-or-treating, and I'll be honest, picking up an opened, or, you know, picking up the, you know, the sick people that put like the thumbtack
right
in the candy and stuff, you have a higher risk of that than you do of, number one, even contracting COVID, and number two, as a child dying of COVID. And so I think, I don't know if you talked about it today, you know, honestly, I've been busy this afternoon, but the World Health Organization now came out and said that they estimate that 10% of the world's population, so that's 750 million people, have had this. Well, we've had, you know, about a million or so deaths, a little bit over that. So it
worldwide
breaks down to being, yes, so it breaks down to being a 0.13% fatality rate.
Right, 0.13.
So when this thing started out, there was people, Kyle Clark, I'll mention him, that were spreading, and to their credit, they didn't know, but they were spreading the idea that this could cause, that this thing could have a fatality rate of 0.6 or even 1%. We are a tenth of that.
Right.
And we are still doing all of, and honestly, that I think it's lower than that because you're also factoring in, you know, older people.
You're factoring all deaths, even the comorbidity, which we all know is probably the real numbers are probably half of what's being reported, if not even greater than that. So, yeah, out of that million deaths worldwide, it's probably more like 500,000. If you look at the 7 billion plus people on the planet and look at a half a million that have died, again, I go back to, is it even considered a true pandemic given those real numbers? It really isn't.
No, and honestly, they're actually overstating and causing some pandemics with their testing. I actually, you know, read a guy today that basically said by us doing all of the testing that we're doing, and in some cases, you're testing people that wouldn't otherwise have any issue with it because they're asymptomatic. And by the way, it's slowly coming out, which we've known for a while, that asymptomatic people are not spreading this virus near as much. Now, they still are in some cases. But most cases are people who are symptomatic. Now, they may be shedding the virus prior to their symptoms starting, but they are still but we're talking about people that never realized they had it, Dad, because they were asymptomatic throughout. Because that's what everyone has been telling us.
Right.
The other thing that really got me, and then we'll get off of it and briefly talk about sports, is the hospital thing. Everyone's giving Trump a hard time for going to the hospital because they're saying, well, you know, yeah, when you know the COVID's really not hard to beat when you're the, you know, the leader of the free world and you're able to get the top medical care and all of these drugs and this, that, or the other. All of the stuff he is taking is available to any American, whether you've got insurance or not, folks.
Right.
Don't let them deceive you. Yes, the remdesivir and the other drug, the Regeneron cocktail and stuff that he's taking is technically, you know, some of it's part of the emergency use, some of it's part of the compassionate use. But for the most part, if you are in dire need of these drugs,
you're going to get them.
You can get it.
That's right.
And so they're giving him a hard time for going into the hospital saying, well, only a really small percentage of people actually end up in the hospital. Well, why aren't you guys reporting that when it's not the president?
Right.
I haven't heard once on local news how few people go to the hospital. It's just, well, our cases are up. We're seeing this many people in the hospital. Here's where our cases are in Colorado.
Yep.
We've lost another 3 people. Or, oh, wait, we didn't lose anyone today. So, anyways, I'm just, and by the way, I think there's more and more people like me, Dad. The more and more people I talk to are sick and tired of everything that's going on, of the masks and of the shaming that's going on and everything that goes with it. But, anyways, quick sports update, and then we got to go to a break here in a second. Broncos won on Thursday night. They're kind of back at it this weekend. They will have a minimum of 5,700 fans the rest of the year. However, that number could go higher if they get clearance from the governor or whatever. So a minimum of what they had for the Buccaneers game a few weeks back. And then the Chiefs game that is actually going to go on here in about 10 minutes was postponed because the Cam Newton, the Patriots starting quarterback, tested positive, and so there was people, they basically kind of had to take precautions and do some extra tests, and the Tennessee Titans. And oh, Dad, just so you know, if you're an NFL player, you go to a charity event to raise about $300,000 for kids who are in inopportune situations and, you know, trying to keep kids out of jail, wherever it might be. But, you know, some people in the media take pictures and you don't have masks, you can get fined $50,000, which is what happened to the Las Vegas Raiders when they had a group of people that went to a guy who's actually escaped rehab. He's now a star tight end in the league. And I'm not a Raiders fan by any stretch of the imagination, but this is just nonsense.
Unbelievable.
So that's kind of your short recap of sports this weekend.
Okay. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Geno's Auto Services next, folks. That's Geno's with a J. They'd love to help you out with all of your vehicle needs. Get that done prior to winter hitting, which, by the way, is just around the corner, 303-794-6700. That's ginosautoservice.com.
For over 37 years, Geno's has been your go-to auto service shop in Littleton for all of your car repair and maintenance needs. This month, take advantage of Geno's engine and cabin air filter special and receive a NAPA $20 gift card. Do you want to breathe better air in your vehicle? Your cabin air filter helps to remove pollen, dust, smoke, and pollutants from the air inside your car. It's recommended to change your cabin air filter once a year in Colorado. Your engine air filter prevents dust, dirt, and contaminants from your engine. With any service, we'll do a free battery check to get you safely back on the road. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers, honoring warranty work you may have had done. Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off for service and pick up when ready. Geno's is a Colorado Select member and conveniently located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Check out Geno's Google reviews or call us with any questions. Visit Geno's online at genosautoservice.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Jody said, called these folks up to see about getting some equipment to help with an off-site meeting. What a surprise. It is so rare these days when someone exceeds your every expectation, but BES sure did. While the item I needed wasn't something they normally deal in, they called around, found a solution, and then called me back. Then, when we were talking through the pricing, they said, you know what, pay it forward. We've got you on this one. If you are looking for a business that tries hard for their customers and still believes in old-fashioned business values, you needn't shop further. This is it. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. All right, from time to time, we do car reviews because we drive new cars on a regular basis. I want to keep you all informed of that. We talk about them here on Rush to Reason and on Drive Radio as well. Richard, recently, both of us drove our Mercedes-Benz, 2020 Mercedes-Benz A220. I know, yeah, it sounds like an Airbus A220, but this is a car, an A220. What did you think?
Yeah, it's a car, Dad, and honestly, one that I was pleasantly surprised
with.
Me
too.
To be honest, I hopped in it and wasn't quite sure to what to expect, and the infotainment is what you would expect for Mercedes-Benz. It had kind of all the features and stuff that you're looking for on it. And then it had the turbo, Dad, which we'd always talked about at our altitude needing that extra power.
Yeah, it works well.
It was fantastic. I think that our biggest complaint with that car is probably the same thing you had with the other Mercedes, which is their driving, you know, kind of their helping aid.
It's too overbearing. And again, I'm just going to say this. Mercedes, if you're listening, which you will be, I love the car. Everything about it was fabulous. It's got great styling. It looks fab. It looks fantastic. Great room. I love all the ergonomics inside. But their lane keep assist, you know, end of things is absolutely almost unbearable to drive with, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you get to it where you don't want people to turn those features off, but you kind of have to. And keep in mind, folks, we're only in these cars a week, so I'm sure you'd get a little bit more used to it.
True.
Over time.
True.
But part of what we're going to review is obviously if you just hop in a car for a short drive or whatever it might be, it's something that is a little bit of a learning curve. But like you said, that it's a beautiful car. It's under $50,000. I believe it's at four. You know, I don't. You know, the two adults
four
in the
comfortably
back are going to be a little,
yes.
They're going to be a little bit, you know, tighter than what you would might expect in a larger sedan. You know, it's on the smaller sedan.
Correct.
Side. But it's got all the luxury. You know, it's got the ability to change all the ambient lighting, and you know, it's got the fancy.
It's a very cool car as far as all that goes. Yes, and it works extremely well.
Oh yeah,
handles well, drives well. Took that car to Winter Park and back, and it just works really well as far as that goes. And to your point earlier, Richard, power, yep, that part, I got no complaints. I just wish, and this is just the way I'm going to say it, I just wish Mercedes would put a little softer touch on their driver assist program, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree, Dad. And I will say it's a good program. It gives you a lot of help and a lot of aid, but sometimes it's just a little bit too much. You know, you almost wish you could dial it back a little bit. And maybe there's a setting we miss. So, Mercedes, again, when you're listening, feel free to let us know if there's a setting we miss. We'd be glad to, you know, kind of correct it. But as it stands right now, that's really my only complaint with a car outside of that, Dad. If you're looking to be in that kind of subcompact luxury market, I would definitely consider it. And it's actually all new starting in 2019, Dad, so this is kind of the second iteration of it. And
great car.
I think they hit it out of the park.
I agree. So, folks, go drive one at your local Mercedes dealer. Tell them John and Richard Russ sent you. All right, other than that, Richard, what else? We got about half a second left, half a minute left.
Not too much, like I said. I think we kind of talked about that. We've got two Monday Night Football games tonight, as we talked about before. You got the NHL draft coming up. The NBA, which no one cares about, we're not going to pay too much attention to that. And
one last thing before you leave, I noticed that the NBA, one of the final games, the viewership was just down dismally low.
Yeah, they're competing with a lot of things, Dad, but I also think people are just tired of the NBA and tired of the preaching.
All right, I'll let you go with that. We'll talk next week. Good stuff. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it very much. And with that, Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage professor, much like Richard when it comes to sports and watching all that's going on in that world. Bruce watches it when it comes to his world, which is reverse mortgages, because that's all he does. He doesn't do any other mortgages, just reverse mortgages. So if you're interested in a reverse mortgage or you have one and you'd like to do something different, he can help you with that. It's klzradio.com or his direct number, 303-467-7821.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. Your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your house without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560, wrapping up this second hour. The next hour, Steve Heck going to join us. Actually, we'll get our Monday Mortgage Minute. And then Steve Heck will join us, editor-at-large of the Impunity Observer. We're going to talk about Breonna Taylor, her case, and it exposes Marxist deceit. And then don't forget, at 5:30, we'll be hearing from HUD Secretary Dr. Ben Carson as well. That's all next right here on Rush to Reason. Hour number three is next, KLZ 560.